Crossroads Podcast.
Morning, Crossroads. This is your host, Stephen Kilfoyle, bringing you the latest news and announcements here in Crossroads and around the world. This week, March 11th, 2024, this being the week of spring break, we want to wish all those who are traveling safe travels. Congratulations to the following candidates for their new two-year term starting in May: Lynn Tompkins for mayor, Stephanie Housewright for town council, and David Meek for town council. It is comforting to know we have our town's needs being met by this wonderful group of people. The Municipal Development District will be holding their meeting on Thursday, March 14th at 6 p.m. in the meeting room at Crossroads Police Department. Town council will be holding their meeting on Monday, March 18th at 6 p.m. in the meeting room at the Crossroads Police Department. The extravaganza has been moved to March 23rd from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., and the new location is the North Rock Church, 8690 Liberty Road, Aubrey, Texas, just past Five Gear Automotive on the right side of Highway 377. The entry is free with no registration required. There will be an egg hunt, cookie walk, carnival games, face painting, and bounce houses. Egg hunts will be at 10:30 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. for each age group. Age groups are 0 through 3 years, 4 to 6 years, 7 to 9 years, and 10 to 12 years. Back in history this month, on March 6, 2002, the Future Growth Survey was prepared by the Comprehensive Plan Committee and presented to Council for approval. This survey was passed unanimously by members of the council. The survey was then distributed around Crossroads to obtain citizen input on what they wanted the town to look like in the future as it grows. We've come a long way now with the Vision 2035 plan, and it looks like our dear town finally got its town square along with a high school, thanks to all the citizens and our amazing town council and Mayor Lynn Tompkins. On March 21, 2011, Town Council asked the Comprehensive Plan Committee, with investigating the feasibility, along with the benefits and costs of establishing a fire station within Crossroads town limits, and to make recommendations to the Town Council. Now we have our own Crossroads Police Department, and the Little Elm Fire Department is going to be building a new fire station located on FM 720, just down the road from the town limits. Isn't it great to actually be a living part of history as it unfolds before us? Don't forget to stop by the town park between March 13th and 19th to watch the chainsaw artist Kevin Roach transform a beautiful oak tree that died into a wonderful work of art featuring woodland creatures native to our area. Roach will also be building a bench alongside for residents to sit, enjoy, and finish. And look at that art piece. Up in Pilot Point all the way through March 26th, don't forget to stop and admire the tulips between 10 a.m. and 8 p.m. at 10656 Farm to Market Road 2931 in Pilot Point. Go to tulips.com for daily updates before you visit. Stop by the Pilot Point Coffee House. Say howdy to Jemerson. They always have fun events scheduled. And on Saturday, March 16th at 10 a.m., another pain-free clinic will be hosted by my friend, Dr. Lynn Morales, at Access Complete Wellness Building located at 8105 Rasor, that's R-A-S-O-R Boulevard, Conference Room in Plano, Texas, 75024. To reserve your seat, call 972-712-0892 and tell them Stephen from Crossroads Podcast sent you. This is a free clinic, but seating is limited, so please call. Stop suffering. The device that will be presented is one that I personally own myself. It is called the Wellness Pro, and it works like a TENS unit, but with many more capabilities. If you have any type of pain due to arthritis, bursitis, or any other itis, I recommend you attend this pain-free clinic. Okay, on to some more news. Now that the elections are behind us, and hopefully everybody's voted right, we do need to clean up our swamp and get that trash out of there, get some intelligence back into our government. I want to just go over the six big failures of Biden's presidency. This was an article written by Jarrett Stepman on March 6, 2024 of the Daily Signal. The State of the Union is feeble. That's what Americans believe as President Joe Biden is set up to make his fourth and perhaps final, hopefully, State of the Union address Thursday evening. Regardless of what he says in the speech, the reality of Biden's tenure is that American people are not only uneasy, but deeply pessimistic about the country's future. Why are Americans so down about the State of the Union? They're down only because of the crumbling confidence in the country's most powerful institutions, but because of the failures of the man sitting in the Oval Office. Here's my roundup of what I think are the six most prominent failures of the Biden presidency so far. 1. The worst border crisis in U.S. history. This is the most obvious failure of the Biden administration, a failure that gets to the heart of what this administration and the modern left are all about. At the federal, state, and local levels, left works to ensure the concept of citizenship becomes meaningless outside of paying taxes. But it is at the federal level where the most damage can be done, and the Biden administration has done all it can do to ensure the flow of illegal aliens continues, knowing that once they're allowed into the country, most are likely to stay. The first thing Biden did when he came to presidency was strip away the border security measures at the previous administration. His administration continues to tear away at every measure that would allow for effective enforcement, from disbanding the successful Remain in Mexico policy that ensured that asylum seekers would have to wait in Mexico for their asylum claims to be processed, to ending public health measure called Title 42, Biden has proved unwillingness to enforce U.S. immigration laws. Biden didn't just immediately throw open the door for a wave of illegal immigration. His administration subtly assured that illegal immigration would directly benefit his party. For instance, the president issued an executive order directing the Census Bureau to count non-citizens in the reappointment numbers, a nice bonus for the Democrat-led sanctuary states to make up for citizens who fled their policies. The result of all this has been predictable and still astounding in its scope. According to Fox News report late last month, about 7.2 million illegal border crossings have occurred since Biden became president. This is a higher number than the population of 36 different states. In every year the Biden presidency, a new annual record for illegal border crossings has been set. Judging by the early numbers of 2024, we'll keep up the pattern. It has become such a disaster that even a few Democrat mayors and governors have begun to gross. City budgets are being strained and radically shifted to cater to the newcomers, all thanks to Biden. The Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Bureaucratic Cultural Revolution. The Biden administration has made it clear that its bureaucratic priority, no matter what cabinet department, is always advancing equity. Administration officials aren't doing this by ensuring that Americans will be treated equally under the law. Instead, the goal is the opposite, to wholly racialize the American Republic and turn us into warning oppressed groups clawing for scraps from the federal government. From advancing critical race theory to promoting gender transformations for minors to obliterating American history on public land, the Biden administration has empowered the bureaucracy to turn diversity, equity, inclusion, or DEI, into a kind of ideological state religion. An executive order Biden signed last year called Future Advancing Racial Equity and Support for Underserved Communities through the Federal Government highlights how his administration aims to make this transformation complete. Writer and filmmaker Christopher Rufo spoke about this order at the time and summarized the president's policy. It's worth quoting at length. Quote, first, he's creating internal cadres of DEI officers. This is really important for shaping the culture, the personnel, and the budgeting process in the federal government, which controls trillions of dollars of public resources. Second, he's using this initiative to justify funding third-party political activists under the guise of so-called underserved communities or faith and community organizations. And third, he's doubling down on the weaponization of civil rights law, this time with some very interesting and very modern twists. He's pushing left-wing ideology, even regulating things like the use of artificial intelligence, and this entire package is justified through this really intricate but unfortunately widespread statistical and linguistic manipulation. Biden is doing his best to ensure America in the future will be permanently ruled by people who act and think like those who run Harvard University. Weaponized agencies. Not only is the federal bureaucracy working relentlessly to promote DEI and the Cultural Revolution, but is also being outright weaponized to attack political opponents of the regime. In 2022, I warned about this massive expansion of the IRS, and it wasn't hard to see how this could be quickly abused. Sure enough, the IRS stepped up its policy of unannounced home visits, a tactic later abandoned because of pressure from Congress. Even more disturbingly, before the policy was ended, the IRS made an unannounced visit to journalist Matt Taibbi's house, and the same day he testified to Congress about the cozy connection between Biden administration and big tech companies. It isn't just the IRS that's the problem. The Department of Justice and the FBI have also been weaponized against Americans who disagree with the Biden administration's preferred political narratives. The DOJ put out a memo in 2021 essentially saying that parents protesting at local school board meetings were potential domestic terrorists. A House committee later found no justification at all for this conclusion. This looked more like a smear campaign to silence opposition. More recently, the FBI moved to investigate traditional Catholic pro-life groups as potential domestic terrorists. Our fellow Catholic brothers and sisters. All right, let's attack the church. More recently, the FBI moved to investigate traditional Catholic pro-life groups as potential domestic terrorists. I've made it very clear that, in my view, the evidence shows that the FBI, for example, in the last couple of years, has been weaponized. House Speaker Mike Johnson, Republican Louisiana, said in a November interview with the Daily Signal. We have the evidence to show it, Johnson said. They have, in some cases, targeted people of faith. They've targeted conservative Catholics and concerned parents at school board meetings and all the rest. The evidence is very clear that that's happened. This is happening as the Justice Department has remained mostly silent while hundreds of pro-life pregnancy centers have been targeted for arson and vandalism by pro-abortion extremists. Debt, inflation, and the cost of living. All right. Way to go, Joe. Okay. The constant, let's go, Brandon, right? Yeah. The constant message from the Biden administration has been that the U.S. economy is the best ever and that it has been creating jobs like never before. Never mind the fact that widespread COVID-19 lockdowns that the administration promoted were the reason so many jobs were lost to begin with. But the administration hasn't been able to hide from inflation and intended cost of living increases, which are eating away at the savings and finances of countless Americans. Biden's message has been to blame private companies for the price surge and to focus on shrinkflation, in which products are reduced in size and quality to mask price increases. Administration officials even enlisted Sesame Street characters to promote this idea, another good reason to be more skeptical of public funding for PBS. Man, I can't believe they would take and politicize and use Bert and Ernie to bring about this crap, but they did. But breakfast cereal companies and grocery stores didn't just decide to raise prices to be mean to customers. In fact, if anything, shrinkflation helps disguise the deeper issue. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, prices by businesses and consumers alike have increased 18% on average since Biden took office in January 2021, Heritage Foundation economics expert E.J. Anthony wrote in February. The reason for this is that Congress and the Biden administration not only spent trillions of dollars on COVID-19 emergency aid, but kept the spigot going afterwards. By the way, much of that COVID-19 emergency went down the drain as billions of dollars were reportedly wasted or stolen. An Associated Press analysis found that fraudsters potentially stole more than $280 billion in COVID-19 relief funding. Another $123 billion was wasted or misspent. The Associated Press reported in June, combined, the loss represents 10% of the $4.2 trillion the U.S. government has so far dispersed in COVID relief aid. The spending issue isn't just Biden's, though. He's certainly done nothing to stem it. Long-term bipartisan failure has crippled the finances of the United States. This isn't just causing prices to go up now. Federal spending threatens the future prosperity of Americans for generations to come. Global instability as military recruitment collapses. The Biden administration faces multiple foreign policy crises across the globe. The shambolic and embarrassing departure from Afghanistan led to absolutely no accountability for those who conducted it. This is the administration's MO. Worse, we've now hit year two of the war between Russia and Ukraine, at which the U.S. and other allies have thrown tens of billions of dollars with no resolution. The Middle East, incredibly stable during the Trump administration, looks to be closer to all-out war as Iran and its proxies attack Israel. And China has been disturbingly aggressive in its actions towards the United States. With all this happening, the Biden administration seems to have no grand strategic plan other than to insist loudly that we are the United States of America. That maximalist but soft approach seems to be particularly dubious when combined with a military both dwindling and demoralized. The military has been immune to the whole wokeification of the federal bureaucracy. Far from it. The DEI virus is hollowing out American military strength just as it poisons the rest of our society. The Biden administration has prioritized diversity, equity, inclusion, and related to the LGBTQ initiatives for the State Department and the military. The Biden administration insists that DEI efforts are necessary to increase military recruitment and the effectiveness of the military. But the truth seems to be the opposite. The military now spends an increasing amount of time on DEI training and less on honoring its warfighting capabilities. In addition, the military services have seen a historic collapse in recruitment rates for overall forces, especially among whites. The Daily Caller News Foundation reported last month in fiscal year 2018, 44,042 new recruits to the Army, or 56.4% of the total, were white, according to data obtained by the Daily Caller News Foundation. That number collapsed to a low of 25,070, or 44% of the total, in the fiscal year 2023. A significant increase in other groups hasn't occurred or even come close to making up for the drastic recruitment shortfalls. Yet the Biden administration seems to have no other idea on how to fix this other than to continue saying diversity is our strength until moral improves. Still, no returning to normalcy. This is one of the hardest to define, but in some ways the most damning failure of the Biden presidency. Biden campaigned in 2020 on the message that he would restore normalcy and confidence in the presidency and the country. Instead, Biden has used his time in office to portray his opponents as extremists while acting like an extremist himself, has called his likely 2024 rival an insurrectionist as political allies attempt to arrest the former president, and has left many Americans feeling pessimistic and downright hopeless about the future. It seems we've sunk deeper into a malaise than during the administration of President Jimmy Carter in the late 70s. I was around when that was around, and that was a mess. I like Mr. Carter for what he did for Habitat for Humanity, but other than that, he was dumb. Stupid peanut farmer that really fucked up our economy. I remember that. But it doesn't help that serious questions haven't been answered about the president's health and competency. The few times Biden has been asked to address this issue, his response is to caustically lash out at the reporters who suggest he may be slipping mentally. And questions also have arisen about whether Biden is really the man running the show at all. Hey, I think Obama's behind him pulling the strings like a puppet. Biden has been the highly partisan face of an irresponsible regime that is dedicated more to the Cultural Revolution than effective national leadership in troubled times. This is not the resume of a uniter in chief. Folks, the power of the people has spoken. The elections will show it. And come presidential election, y'all know who to vote for. I don't even need to tell you. We can't afford to have this idiot in office any longer. We need to take him out. He needs to be retired quietly to a nice nursing home and where he can pass away. But it's time to act. So get out there and vote when the time comes. Maddie and I are going to be having fun this week, and we wish safe travels to all those who are out and about traveling for this spring break. And we will come back at the end of the month for another show. So until next week, I'll see you at the top.
Crossroads Podcast.